Matthew chapter 14. This is a message that every single person here can use if you are saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved first. And we'll talk about that just a little bit. But Matthew chapter 14, there's something here that I'm excited about. It's a story that we all know. In fact, this morning when I was coming over to get the bus route going, Gracie, my granddaughter, came with me. She's about 8 years old. And she said, "Grandpa, what's in the bag?" And I said, "Well, I'll show you in a minute." And I said, "I've got some loaves of bread and some fish in there." She said, "What are you going to do with that?" And I said, "I'm going to use it in my message." And she said, "I know what you're going to do." She says, "You're going to preach about how Jesus fed the 5,000. It's a very familiar story, isn't it? And we've probably heard that preached at least once or twice by a missionary, because the missionary understands that we can give a little and God can do a lot with it. But I think the application I show you this morning that I'm excited about, if you can get excited about it, I think it is a life-changing application of that story, applies to all of us. Now, let me show you a couple of things before we read the passage. And so you're there with me in Matthew 14, right? First of all, what just happened is they just finished taking the body of John the Baptist. He had been beheaded by Herod the Tetrarch, and he had been killed because he preached against sin. Herod didn't like what John said, put him in prison. Herod's mistress didn't like it even more, and she had made an arrangement to where, well, ultimately it cost John his life. Folks, the devil doesn't like the Word of God. If you want to know why are people so angry that there might be somebody reading from a Bible in a public school or praying to God in a public school, it's because the devil hates those things. So, it's freedom of religion. That was never the intent. The intent was that the government would not endorse a particular denomination. And when you read the Constitution, it actually forbids what we're doing right now. The Congress is not allowed to pass a law that prohibits the freedom of religion. George Washington, countless, the Congress back in the 1700s and 1800s repeatedly said, our schools should be using the Bible. Amen. But some men today have lied and said, oh no, that might brainwash children. Yeah, that'd be terrible if we taught them, thou shalt not kill. Or if we taught them, thou shalt not steal. It'd be terrible if we taught children to honor God. Maybe they'd quit shooting each other, amen? And I'm not trying to be funny, it's not funny. So, back to where I started in Matthew chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ has just seen with his disciples the consequences of what it means to follow God. And don't misunderstand, that's where the story starts. If you choose to follow God, it's going to cost you something. He's worth the price. He knew where his life led, didn't he? Didn't Jesus know where his life led? It led to a cross. Why would he tell us, take up your cross and follow me, if he didn't know where his life led? He knew what he was going to facing. And he did that, why? For himself? No. For you and I. Amen? There are people out there hurting, and Jesus saw that. And in fact, it says in this passage, he was moved with compassion. Compassion is when you care about someone else's suffering. We have compassion today for Dan Ball. He's suffering. He's got horrible cancer. It's eating the insides of his body. It's causing him horrible symptoms. And we care for him, and it hurts us that he hurts. We have compassion for him. Jesus has compassion on you and I. And he wants us to have compassion on others. And there again, compassion will cost you something. For example, if you're going to help somebody out, you've got to stop serving yourself and serve somebody else. Amen. Too many people are so busy serving themselves, they haven't got time for anybody else. That's not compassion. But Jesus was moved with compassion. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read Matthew 14, verses 13 through 20. Have a word of prayer. The Bible says, when Jesus heard of it, that was John's beheading, he departed thence by ship into a desert place. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals, food. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. You might want to underline that. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 20, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning once again. Lord, we need your guidance in these next few moments. We need your protection from any distraction that might interrupt our ability to listen to what you have to say to us. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we can gather here today. We thank you that even though Satan would hinder us, Satan is not wanting us to hear what you have to say to us today. But God, we thank you that we can hear and we can respond. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would work. I can do nothing. Just like these disciples, I have very little to offer, a few loaves and a couple of fish. But you can take what we do today and you can do great things with it. We may look at our church as not much to offer, a few loaves and a few fishes. But you can take it and you can do much. And especially in these last days when there are so many that need our compassion, that need our dedication to you to come out and tell them the gospel and tell them how to find Christ as Savior. Help us today. Be with all the young people that are here today and all of our members, and then especially be with folks that couldn't be here today or that are not here today, and help them to see this as well. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Probably feel like sometimes that God has asked us to do more than we have the ability to do. For example, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So how am I going to do that? Or the Bible might says that we should live our life for Christ. We might say, well, how are we going to do that? We might, the Bible says, Jesus says, Peter said, and he quoted Leviticus, he said, God's command is, be ye holy. Holy to means without, be without sin. Be ye holy, for I am holy. How are you going to do that? And a lot of people look at the Bible, and they look at it as a book of rules, a book of requirements, a book of restrictions, a book of limitations, and they say, well, I can't do that, and they just give up. If you've come to the place to where you realize you can't do it, that's a good thing. If you've come to the place to where you had enough sense to realize, I can't do what Jesus is asking me to do, that's a good thing. Look at this passage and let's see what he said. Now, just again, the setting, just going to a couple of thoughts. Verse 13, they're in a place. It's a desert. That we use the word desert. We know a lot about desert here in our part of the country, but it's the same word that we use to get the word deserted. It means there's just nobody there. They don't have a shopping center. They don't have grocery stores. They don't have markets. They don't have anything. It's just a deserted place. But Jesus went to this place where nobody was, and 5,000 people, that's just the men, and then a bunch of women and a bunch of children followed Jesus to this deserted place. And there's nothing there but Jesus and the disciples and all these people. He was there, and those that came to him, he healed them. I'm going to ask you a question. You haven't got to answer out loud, but have you ever come to Jesus to be healed? I'm not talking about I had a cold or I had the flu. I had a nursing home ministry one time, and a fellow said he'd fallen down and hurt himself, and Jesus healed him. That's good, but there's a better healing than that. Have you ever come to Jesus to heal you from your sin condition? I'm not talking about making you perfect. I'm talking about forgiving you for your sins. Have you ever come to him because you're a sinner and ask him to save you? Amen? Amen. That's good healing. Dan Ball is not likely to be healed physically, but he's been healed as far as his sin is concerned. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord when you're in that situation. And when he dies, his body dies, his spirit will go be with Jesus, just like that. People came to Jesus and he healed them. He had compassion on them, on their suffering. But he also knew that they had a need. They needed to eat. And they hadn't been eating, and they didn't have a place to eat. This evening now, in verse 15, and the place is a deserted place, and the time is now past. It's starting to get dark. And the disciples are very aware of the limitations. Isn't that interesting how we are aware of the limitations, aren't we? There's not enough money, there's not enough time, there's not enough space, there's not enough of this, not enough of that. We know the limitations. We're running out of time and so on, and we don't have enough money to buy what we want to buy or whatever. The disciples could see the limitations. Can I say something to you? With God, there are no limitations. You look at your life. I'm thinking of these young people here. I may pick on one of them here in a minute, but we'll just use them in general. Say, what can they do for God? The same as me, nothing. Well, they can try, and they can do a little, but without God, what can they do? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I can see the limitation in my life, and you can too. You say, Pastor, in my life, I'm limited. I just can't do. I can't this. I can't that. I understand. Stop looking at the limitation. You hear me? With Jesus, there are no limitations. And so this is interesting. He wants them to see that. See, that's what the focus here is. Look at verse 16. They've seen the limitation in verse 15, right? In verse 16, Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. What? No. You're gonna get the rest of the speech here in a minute, but this, what do they come back to in verse 17? They said, here's the limitation. We have enough to feed one child, maybe a couple. And there's 5,000 men and women and children. And time is running out. And there is no store. And we have no money. And what? How are we supposed to feed these people? Now, do you think he's tricking them or does he want to teach them something? Amen? And I want to ask you a question today. Do you think he's tricking you when he asks you to do what you can't do? Or is he trying to teach you something? Let's talk about salvation for a minute. You and I sinned against the holy God. I'm saying we sinned against the holy God. Amen. We offended him, and so badly that his son had to come and die on the cross to pay for our sins. That's enormous. And then I want to ask you the question, what can you do to make up for that? Oh, I know, I'll be baptized. That's not going to make any difference. There's never a place in the Bible that says baptism saved anybody. I'll join a church. I'll be better. Next time a policeman stops you for speeding, say, I'll be better. He says, that's good. You be better. You better be, but what about this time? You can't save yourself. Amen? any more than you can't save yourself, you cannot live a life of value to God. You don't have enough. You are limited. You look at the limitation as an excuse. God looks at the limitation as an opportunity for Him to get glory. Let that sink in a little bit. We use the limitation as an excuse. I can't, God, and so I won't. God uses a limitation as an opportunity. You can't, but He can. Amen. Now, we don't know much about this little boy, but at least the little boy, I think his mom is the one that gets the credit. Somebody had enough sense to bring a meal. 5,000 men didn't have a meal. The little boy did. And what did he have? He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the courtesy of Walmart and a few dollars, I'm going to put 5 loaves and 2 fishes. If you can't see this, I apologize. I will tell you about it in a minute. There's 5 loaves. Now, think about this. If you sent a little boy lunch, you wouldn't send him loaves. You'd send him a little piece of bread like that. Amen? Fish. I'm not going to open it. Okay? Because some of you would run out of the room if I did. That'd fill me up. That might fill a few of you up if you like sardines. A lot of you would say, I want more. The bread's pretty filling, though. That's not a bad meal, actually. We're going to have the young people over to the house after church today, and they're going to have hamburgers. What if we just said, hey, guys, instead of having hamburgers, we're just going to have this. And y'all can share it. And Anthony would say, the sardines in the first 4 are mine. You guys take the rest. That's not much. Didn't cost a lot. I think the loaves were made lovingly by a mother that cared about her child and sent them with him. And that little boy, I don't think the disciples came to him and said, give us your lunch or else. I think what happened was the little boy somehow or another understood that they had a need. And he said, hey, I don't have much, but I can help. Amen. I like to think that. Amen. Is everybody listening to me? Why won't people do that? Why won't somebody step up and say, I don't have much, but I can help? What if you did? You haven't got much. You haven't got much of anything. A little bit of money, a little bit of time, a little bit of health. The older you get, the last of those you have. You haven't got much. What if you brought it to Jesus? Some guys here, some young guys, they said, we're teenagers. What can we do? Some older people here and their health is just about gone. And they say, well, what can we do? We're limited. We don't have anything. 5,000 men and you're going to feed them with this? Why bother? The little boy had enough youth in him to not examine the circumstances and say, why should I even bother to give him my 5 loaves and 2 fishes? That's irrelevant. 1 loaf per 1,000? How's that going to work? He didn't think it through. Praise the Lord. He just said, here. not much here today. It's just a few of us. I saw a video the other day of a church, thousands of people. By the way, without Jesus, you can have the biggest church you want and do nothing.
That's right,
amen. If you would give God what little you have, I will define that in a minute, He could take it and reach a multitude. Now, I'm not talking about money. Forget the money. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about sacrifice. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about you have, the Bible says, on average 70 years, 70 years, if by reason of strength 40, maybe 80 years of life. And a lot of us, most of the way through that. I'm 62. I've got somewhere between 8 and 18 years, Bible-wise. It's not much. You don't have much, but you have a life to give to God. Amen? So what would that cost me? Oh, let's think about that a minute. What did it cost a little boy? It didn't cost him anything. He gave up what he had. He still got lunch, didn't he? He got a lunch that I think was much better than what he would have gotten if he'd have kept it for himself. Because wouldn't it be kind of fun to sit there eating your lunch and watch 5,000 people eating the same lunch and think, that was because of me? I gave that to Jesus and look what he did. Amen?
Amen.
That's all there is to it. So, well, Pastor, you don't know the circumstances. Ah, you're talking limitations again. I understand the limitations. That's the problem. We keep looking at the limitations and quit looking at Christ. Just give him what you've got. Now, here's this little boy again, and the little boy had to make some decisions, and one of them was this. If I give it to Jesus, that means I don't get to keep it. And there for a minute, he had nothing. He took his little lunch, and he gave it to the disciples, and they gave it to the Lord. And now I wonder if he's going to get to eat or not. There was a moment there where he had nothing. Did Jesus overlook him? No. When you give your life to God, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to give some things up.
Amen.
You're going to have to give up some of your time, and you're going to have to give some of your dreams, if you will. Somebody says, I know what I want to do. I want to get into this. I want to own this, and I want to do that, and I want to experience this. I know what I'd like to do. Someone says, I want to live in a place, and I want to have a big vacation every year, and I want to drive two of the nicest cars they got and a couple more on top of that, and I want to have the best clothes and the best this and the best that. That's just a few loaves and fishes. Now, what I'm telling you is this. If you will give God, and the Bible says this. I can't quote you the verse right now, but it says that he'll give you back. But if you give God what little you got, you're not going to go without. And a bunch of other people will be reached in the meantime. Amen? You got to decide what you're going to do with this. Because tomorrow we're all going to get up in the morning and we're going to say, it's another day. Does that day belong to Jesus or does it belong to me? And we're going to meet people tomorrow. And when we meet those people, we're going to have conversations with them and we're going to have to decide, does that conversation belong to Jesus or does it belong to me? And when I choose how to spend my time tomorrow, I'm going to have to ask myself the question, does that time belong to Jesus or does it belong to me? I'm not saying you can't go to work. I'm not saying you can't, provide for your family. Obviously, you have to work. What I'm saying is, if you're living for Jesus, then whatever you do, it's like that man said, out of the mouths of babes, two fellows sitting in a break room in a scrapyard talking about what it means to follow God. And there's people that go to church every Sunday that don't understand that. To follow God means to get up every day and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today?
Amen.
And to please him with your life. Amen? And here's what the devil will tell you. If you give your life, this is your life, to Jesus, it's going to be horrible. You're going to miss out on the best things. You're not going to get to do what you wanted to do. And you better keep it for yourself. That's what the devil's going to tell you. Who are you going to listen to? The devil or the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, let's make it a different question. Who are you listening to? Amen? Now, one more thought, and I'm done. The little boy could have said, you know what? There's 5 loaves and 2 fishes here. I'll tell you what. Let's split them. Here, Jesus, you can have 3 of the loaves and a fish, and let me keep the other. Now, it was his to do what he wanted to with it, wasn't he? He could have kept all of it. He could have kept some of it. He could have given it all up. If he had decided to keep a little for himself, do you know what he is saying? I don't trust this fellow. There's a little bit more food here than I need. I'll give him what's left over. But I really don't trust him. I'm going to keep some of what I got. Because I don't know what he's going to do. I'm just going to keep some of what I got and let him have the rest. Now, it's not the way the story is told, so I'm speculating. But I assume if that had happened, that the little boy would have had whatever he kept for lunch. If he gave away 3 and 1 fish, he'd have had 2 loaves and a fish for lunch. But when he gave Jesus everything, the Bible says they were all filled. Amen? Some of us here today have said, you know, I'm saved and I know I need to serve God and I don't want to be disappointed or don't want to disappoint him when I stand before him in judgment. So I'm going to give him some of my life, but there's some things I'm keeping for me. That's what you get. Would you rather have Jesus provide for you or just keep part of your meager life? Amen? Can we surrender to him? Well, you know, I got my plans and I'm going to do this and I'm afraid that Jesus wouldn't let me do that. I've never ever known Jesus to make a mistake yet, have you? I've never have known him to give you something inferior when you give him something that's supposedly superior. I wonder what that fish tasted like that day. I'll be honest with you, I can eat sardines, I'd rather not. I don't know what kind of fish the little boy had, but I have seen in several countries, I've seen people catching these little tiny fish because they're hungry, not the fish, the people. And they catch these little tiny fish and they cook them and eat them. Folks, when Jesus feeds you, it's as good as it gets. And by the way, he'll feed 5,000 at the same time. It's our decision to make. It says here in the Bible, he said, bring them hither to me. That's what Jesus is saying to you today. Bring your life to me. Amen. Bring what you have to me. Well, Jesus, I don't have much. That's okay, bring it to me, he said. Jesus, I can't do anything. I know, bring it to me, he said. I know you can't do anything. I know you haven't got much. I know you're weak. I know you don't have a whole lot of training. Bring it to me. Because he can provide the rest. But he wants something to work with. He wants to work with you and me. Amen? He said, bring them hither to me. Verse 19, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. It's not the primary application of this, but I can't help but think about the fact that his body was broken for us on the cross. And they did all eat and were filled. I got a question for you. You've given Jesus a couple of loaves and a fish, and you've clung to the rest just so that you could have what you, maybe in case something doesn't go right, or maybe the Bible's not the truth or whatever, I don't know. I want to ask you something. Are you full? Are you satisfied or are you hungry? Is your life satisfying or does your life leave you hungry? Pastor, I've got a great job and I'm making a ton of money I get up every morning and I go to work and I come home at night exhausted and I eat and I go to bed and I get up every morning and I go to work and I'm making a ton of money. Are you satisfied? Is that what life is? That's my message tonight, by the way. Are you satisfied with your life or are you hungry? Jesus can fill you. But you got to give him the loaves and the fishes to do it. Now I'm going to keep a little myself. You're going to be hungry. A lot of Christians that are hungry because of that. Because they don't trust Jesus enough. They don't trust him enough to give it all to him. They give him a little bit of their life and they wonder why they're hungry. Because you need to give him the whole thing and then he can take care of you and you'll be satisfied. It says, they did all eat and were filled. And then it says in verse 20, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. How on earth did they do that? Because there was leftovers. I can't help but think 12 disciples, 12 baskets. Either way, how do you get leftovers when you try to feed 5,000 with that? Because God's got more than enough. Amen?
Amen?
And just to understand the miracle in verse 21, they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. How many people would you like to see saved in your lifetime because of you? Amen? True story, and I'm done. We had a missions conference in Salt Lake City every year, and we'd have that conference in November. I was always the one that printed the Faith Promise cards, and I printed way too much one year. A whole bunch of Faith Promise cards sitting in the back of the auditorium. And in January, one of the first Sundays in January, the pastor came and the pastor said, during the message on Sunday night, how many souls would you like to see saved this year? And he had the ushers get those leftover Faith Promise cards. And he gave everybody one and he said, I want you to write a number down in the back of this card. How many souls you'd like to see saved this year because of you? Because you witnessed to them, because of what you did. That's a good question. Amen?
Amen?
Don't put your name on it, but turn the card in. I think I wrote 18. I think I figured, 1.5 a month. Yeah. That's limiting God, by the way. I may have written 20. Summer came. We did a vacation Bible school up in Libby, Montana. I took all the teenagers. Just like these guys. That was all. Just teenagers and some sponsors. Went to Libby, Montana. Ran a vacation Bible school for a week. Knocked doors all day, every day. Run a vacation Bible school in the afternoon. Knocked doors at night. Sunday, knocked doors on Sunday afternoon. Knocked doors on Monday morning. VBS Monday afternoon. VBS Monday night. Same Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday night we didn't knock doors because we were done. Into the VBS on Friday, the missionary has been keeping track of how many kids are getting saved. Guess how many? Same thing I wrote on my card. Amen? I thought, really? What can God do? Amen?
Amen.
What limits God? I do. You do.
Amen.
We limit God. We won't sacrifice and give him what he needs to work with. Because we think we can do better with it than he can. Just want to tell you, you can't. Now, in the invitation today, may very well be that you're thinking, what am I going to do with this? Pastor, I just don't know what to do. Let's just apply the message. Just bring what you got to Jesus and give it to him. And see what he can do with you. I would symbolically say, let's just bring Vision Baptist Church. We don't have much. Let's bring it to him and say, Lord, do what you want with it. Amen? It's your decision. If you don't think that Jesus is going to keep his word, then hang on to your loaves and fishes. If you think Jesus can do something with them, and let me take the symbolism out of this. If you think Jesus can do something with your life, then bring it to him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand and pray.